Welcome to the Pulp MX podcast, brought to you by BTOsports.com, because they sponsor the Trans World Motocross podcast. I'm Steve Mathis, and with me on the line is Kevin Husted from Flint, Michigan. Is it Flint?
No, it's Fenton. It's about 20 minutes south of Flint.
Yeah, well, and some of you might know him better by his board name, which is Swizzcore, maybe on Vital MX, and I'm not sure anything else, but mostly on Vital MX. I thought I'd do this. I get a lot of emails from people that wanted to know, that wanted me to do one of these podcasts and for them to ask the questions and so on and so forth. And I thought, I don't really want to be the focus of a whole show myself, but definitely I thought if a guy could ask me some questions, Kevin might be the appropriate one, because he's known me for a while. Kevin's actually responsible for the podcast intros and outros on my show, the Moto Show stuff he's worked on. And all it cost me, Swizzcore, was a $100 microphone. Good deal, huh?
Yeah, I'm a cheap date, right?
Yeah, no, dude, you hooked me up. Thank you for all your help. You've been great on the shows and stuff, and yeah, $100. I got you cheap.
Yeah, well, it's some people might call me stupid, but I really am just a super hardcore moto fan, and it was only $100 microphone, but it was a damn nice microphone, and I get to have my name attached to something that I'm really proud to have it attached to. So it's all good.
You're proud to be on the Moto Show with all of our technical problems.
Right, I'm in that chat with everybody else making fun, so no worries.
We deserve it. We're figuring it out. I boiled it down, because we've changed computers and software and operating systems and inputs and outputs. We've boiled it down to the internet, so we're working on that. Of course, my internet company is denying everything, but we're figuring that out. But no, I thought it'd be cool, because yeah, you've known me for a little bit. We've conversed on email a ton, and I thought it'd just be cool to do one of these podcasts where maybe as a guy that follows my stuff, I think probably from the beginning or from a long time now, you probably have some questions, and I got questions for you. And I guess right off the bat, I want to ask you, your love of Tickle seems to rival mine of Ferries. What's up with Brock Tickle? How do you know him? And I mean, because he's North Carolina guy, so you're Michigan. So how does that connect?
Yeah, he's North Carolina by way of my hometown, Holly, Michigan, now.
Really?
Through Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica's fiancé is from Holly, and that's the mailing address he used. If you look on MA Live Timing during any race, it'll show mm-hmm. Brock Tickle, Holly, Michigan.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's basically shacked up with Jessica in Michigan sometimes, or part-time or whatever.
Right.
And you know his fiancé. Is his fiancé, you said? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And you know his fiance Jessica, and that's how it all kind of connected?
Yep.
Did you used to date her?
No, I did not. I am about, I think I'm probably 11 years older than her, but she is my cousin's age. They went to school together, and I know her through him.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I've known her, she's been about one of the nicest girls, nicest women that I've ever known, for all the people that are so goo-goo and gaga over her body and things. She's nicer than even she looks, so
yeah,
that's a fact.
I've never spoken to her, but I know Steve Cox speaks to her quite a bit, probably tries to hit on her. I don't know. He's married, but whatever. I've never spoken to her, but that's cool. Maybe I will now that you say she's really nice. A lot of times with those girls, and I've spoken to a few of them, there's nothing there. Do you know what I mean? But then again,
yeah.
Her boyfriend or fiance now races, so she's got to have a decent head on her shoulder. But I've talked to some trophy girls, and I mean, they couldn't be more vacant.
Right.
So,
well, like when I saw you at Indy, it's like in passing, like that. Like, what can you really even talk about? I mean, mm-hmm. Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. See you, whatever.
Yeah, I wasn't all flustered like you said, though. I was simply going back to the pits. Yeah.
Yeah, you came off as flustered, just
dude,
so you know. From a completely objective point of view, you seemed like you could not get to where you're going quick enough. And I was just like, man, I think I'm making them feel a little awkward, so I'm just going to peace out.
No, you know, I used to get, when I was a mechanic, I would get the whole, hey, why are you so pissed off? And I'd be like, what? And they're like, you just look mad. And I guess I was just thinking, you know, or something. I don't know. But I wasn't flustered. I mean, maybe I was thinking about, like, who I was going to talk to get quotes from, because oftentimes you got to get down there pretty quick. Otherwise, the guys pack up and take off, you know. So maybe I was, like, in the journalistic mode of who do I need to talk to, who was the story, what happened, you know what I mean? Or maybe I was just thinking of somebody's cheeseburger or something that they had still on the grill. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought pissed off for a second.
Yeah.
Still get that now, or is that only when you're a mechanic?
I get that now a little bit, yeah, for sure. I don't know. I must have just this sour look on my face. Dude, I can't tell you how many times people did it when I was a mechanic.
Right.
You know, I don't know. You know, I think I'm just so fat that, like, my cheeks hang over like a dog, and so I look brooding, maybe? I don't know. So, dude, you're a Brock Tickle fan.
And for the record, I mean, I've hung out with Brock a few times, and he's every bit as nice as Jessica is. They're a great couple together, and the biggest reason I'm such a fan of his is he's very young still. I mean, obviously he's not 18 anymore, but he's still young, and he's still one of those guys that every second that he's out there on the racetrack, he's pushing all the way until he crosses the finish line. He's never holding anything back. I mean, if you watched him in the outdoors, especially last year, he couldn't buy a start. He was always coming up from the back, and he always finished up right around 4th, 5th, 6th. So, I mean, he's got a lot of heart, and I really admire that.
And now, no, you're right about that, definitely. I think he needs to maybe get a team switch, to be honest. I don't know.
Yeah, I know a little bit about that, which I don't want to burn any bridges with him and say anything, but I know he really likes his bike. He's really happy with it. Obviously, his results are really good. He's got a second and a third this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's still got a win in him if he can get a start. I mean,
yeah,
he's just that guy. He may be on a new team in the future, obviously, but
right. I think he was close.
Wherever he goes, he deserves it because he's always given it all he's got.
I think he was close to going to PC. He was definitely in the running, right in there.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything, but I'll let you. I'll kind of agree with the things that you say.
So does your love for Jessica and love for Tickle, does it correspond to other Michigan riders, a la Nick Way or the pride of Flint, Michigan, Josh Woods, any of those guys?
Yeah, I actually lined up with Nick, I think, at Portland once when he was, I believe, in juniors, and I was a B rider.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't a staggered start because the classes were pretty small, and I actually hole shot Nick Way one time in my life, my
nice.
One claim to fame.
Right, nice.
So I actually brought it. I saw him at Steel City last year, uh-huh. And I was a complete idiot. I like stood next to him and said something to him about it and made like the biggest ass out of myself. But
what?
I didn't really care because I wasn't really worried about it.
What'd he do? What did he say?
Yeah, just like right on, man.
Yeah.
Like I was the biggest ass in the world. And I was fine with that. I was like,
nah, dude, he's a cool dude. But yeah, sometimes I spoke to one of my hockey legends a couple years ago in Phoenix. Like he's long retired, but he was one of my heroes when I was a kid. And
Wendell?
No, not Wendell. Not Wendell. I would probably poop myself to talk to Wendell. Like I wouldn't even be able to control it. Like bowels empty. But no,
right.
this was a guy named Doug Gilmore, who was on the level of Wendell for sure, but not quite
right.
Wendell-less. And he worked for the Leafs back then. So I talked to him, and I mean, my wife, she was elbowing me like, okay, honey, yeah, stop. Like, let him talk. Don't interrupt him, like whispering in my ear. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
you're sounding like a jackass. So, I mean, I'm not saying that you idolize Way or anything, but sometimes when you get in situations like that, you're like flustered. You're like, what did I just say? You know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, that was me all day at Steel City last year.
Right.
I mean, I went Weege, And Nick, I said something to Ivan Tedesco that probably made him want to punch me. I was the super fan that day that lost his mind and just I was kind of comatose by the end of the day, and all my friends just ripped me apart about it. Now and I laugh about it because I know I was being a complete douchebag that whole day, just caught up in all of it.
But you've seen Nick's Twitter. Has he responded to you? I know you've talked to him a few times on Twitter. Like, has
yeah.
he ever written back?
Yeah, a little bit. Like I love all of his interviews, just like pretty much everybody does that hears his audio interviews, because obviously he's really charismatic and he knows how to do an interview and be funny. I don't know if he's trying to be funny all the time, but he usually is funny. And I've got this little app on my iPhone where I can very easily get audio from various sources within that are playing through my phone, and I'll just pick out little snippets of his audio interviews that I think are pretty funny, and I Twittered him a couple times and sent them to him, and he responded a couple times.
Yeah, he's a good dude, and you know, people bag on him on, like, the forums, like Vital, about getting rides and finishing 7th and 8th, and he hasn't won a race forever, but what the people don't realize, and I'm turning into Paul Lindsay here, folks, what you need to know, folks, is like, his image and his charisma and his total package and is showing up for dealer signings and his interacting with the fans, that's something. That's a part of it. Unfortunately, in our sport, you know, the top guys don't have a lot of time for fans or talking to fans, and Nick does. So that all adds up come contract time, you know?
Right, no doubt. I mean, there's the reason that he's the only guy that's got his own best of from the DMX shows.
Right,
available. So, I mean,
do you know who the very first guest on the very first DMX show was? DMX's show?
Ping?
Nope. Tim Ferry.
Yeah.
Just another honor that he holds.
Was it the one and only?
No, he's been on there a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on there one time when we were at Outback together when I was his mechanic, and he was on there, and they started talking about feeding me some gristle, and I was eating some steak, and I don't know, it was pretty funny. But anyways, that's just a little trivia for there, Kevin.
I'm not afraid to admit that I only stumbled upon DMXS a little over a year ago, but as much time as I spend in the truck plowing and stuff in the winter, I've listened to just about all of them, but they all kind of go by like a whirlwind, and I couldn't distinguish one from the other and what I had listened to or not throughout a 24-hour plowing period. So
So is that what you do for a living? Is that your main deal? You plow?
Yeah. Well, I graduated from Center for Creative Studies in Detroit in 2000 for graphic design with a focus on video and web animation, and got a job doing that in Lansing for about 3 months. And at that point, I had been working outdoors for my brother-in-law's company, mowing and landscaping, for years. And I was shell-shocked when I got inside, and I was stuck inside every day for those 3 months. And I was like, I went back to him, and I said, you know, if you can match my salary, what I'm doing here, I'd love to go back outside and just do what I went to school for, freelance. And he said, yeah, so that's what I do now. And in the winter, we snowplow and manage that. We're an AT&T contractor, so we're set up pretty well.
Wow, yeah, no, I cleaned the snow off of roofs growing up for a winter, and that's scary stuff, man. That was gnarly. There's a lot of snow out there.
The last few years have been kind of crappy, but it all cycles, you know.
What else do you listen to? DMXS, the Moto Show, is there any other podcasts or things that you listen to?
I listen to Alternative Press podcasts. They do podcasts with singers of bands that I'm interested in stuff. They don't churn them out quite as often as DMXS and you do, but those are really good. They're usually about 2 hours. A couple other issue-oriented podcasts, kind of targeted towards indie music, the heavier indie music, punk and hardcore. What I'm into a lot. I listen to everything, though. I mean, I've got a Beyonce album. I listen to Cradle of Filth. I've got everything you can imagine. Say Anything's one of my favorite bands. I don't discriminate when it comes to music. If I like it, I like it.
Yeah.
I touches all genres.
You're not going to get a job in Morgantown like that, bud, like I was saying. So how many podcasts have you listened to that I've done? Like, have you all of them? Like, Racetracks Canada ones, even? Do you go far back?
Oh, yeah. We go to Florida for 2 weeks every spring. And a couple of years ago was, I think it was 2008 is when I first found the Racer X Canada ones, and I loaded every one that was done up to that point onto my iPod and listened to all of them pretty much that year in Florida. And then, I mean, I've heard them all. There's obviously I've listened to a bunch of them multiple times just because throughout the day when I'm working outside, I mean, I got my headphones in my ears and that's all I do is work and listen. So
right.
That's another reason I love my job so much, because I get to listen to music and podcasts pretty much throughout my whole workday.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have a favorite one? Is there one podcast that I did with somebody, one guest that just stood out?
I was thinking about that. Obviously, I like all the Nick Way ones because the rapport you guys have is so comfortable and he's so funny and stuff.
As you know, I took him to Top Privateer 2002 Supercar Series.
Right. I do recall that from one of the podcasts. That, and I can't help but love the Bradshaw one just because I loved Bradshaw growing up.
He was good, huh? He was good.
I'm still a little ticked that you won't do a Matasevich podcast.
Dude, I mean, is that really what you'd love to hear, a Matasevich podcast?
I'd love to hear Swink more than that, but I don't see that happening.
No, I'm working on Swink. A guy's got – that reminds me. A guy's got Swink's number. I need to call him. He keeps emailing me saying Swink's waiting for my call. And Swink has no cell phone. He only has a home phone. And so I need to call Brian and arrange it. I tried once, as you know.
I'm not sure if he's – I think he might still live in the town right next to mine.
Yeah, maybe. Swink. I mean, I know Swink from back in the day, so it would be a good one. And we'd get along good. I tried once. It was a disaster. Chicken, though, man, I don't know, like – were you around for the U.S. Open grudge match? I mean, he did a bunch of press for that.
No, that's I don't recognize that chicken. That was all propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, I'll work on that. Bradshaw one was good though, man. Yeah, he was really good. I loved his quote about how he knew it was time to quit when he stopped hating everybody. That's just so awesome.
Yeah, if you do get Swink on, you got to ask him about rental car experiences, because one of my good friends used to stay down with him in Florida in, I want to say, 95 or 96, right around there, and I heard some awesome rental car stories of vandalized and tore up rental cars that I would love to hear right out of his mouth.
I'm sure. There's a million questions for Swink. I remember McGrath telling me, Troy, Ohio, 96, we were at a Red Roof Inn hanging out. This is right after we'd gone to the Honda of Troy call-in center to go see like a strip show, but a bunch of guys got together and rented some strippers or something. But anyways, that's another story. So we were hanging out at the Red Roof Inn just talking, and and I'll never forget it. He told me that he watches Swink in practice to see what he needs to do, like what's clearable, what's not. And I just always stuck with me that MC, I mean, this was at the height of MC's power, you know, 96. And and it was just funny. I was like, Swink? Yeah? Really? And he was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's not saying much, but I know people locally around here that grew up racing them, and they all said that they had never seen anybody go faster than Brian Swink when he was on 80s and stuff around the local tracks and stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely a guy that could have been one of the greats, but as it was, still had a nice career, well, I guess, and then, you know. So what about Josh Woods from Flint, dude, from Flint?
Yeah, I was at a few races that he was at. I don't remember a whole lot about him, though. Oh. I remember he was always smoking fast at the tracks and stuff, but that was kind of when I was just getting into it, not really paying a whole lot of attention to the local fast guys or anything yet. I was just trying to make sure my seat didn't fall off in the race.
Yeah, that's probably a good one. Michael Moore, also from Flint, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know that name.
The director, the movie director.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Moore.
I thought you were talking races.
No.
He's a pretty polarizing figure, such as yourself.
Yeah, such as myself.
I was wondering, I wanted to ask you, are you a little disappointed that your latest Alessi story didn't turn into a Hall of Fame thread on Vital yet?
Which one is that, the 350 one?
Yeah, was it not disparaging enough for the guys?
I don't know. What'd you think of it? I just took the quotes, man. I didn't really make any judgments, you know.
Honestly, I haven't read it yet. I just opened up Pulp and I saw that it was there, and I had realized that I hadn't seen anything on Vital about it.
Yeah, I just took quotes. I think the Mike Alessi on a KTM 350 racing outdoors only is a fascinating story. And so I asked people in the pits, like, what do you think? Like, I don't know, you know. I stand by the original Vital article, the Pulp article that blew up Vital for a while. I stand by that story 100%. And in some ways, I feel like I've been a little vindicated, you know.
I just got my American Summer DVD in the mail today, the Great Outdoors 09. Which is essentially the moto show, the moto inside the outdoors, which is on Fuel, which has got everybody talking about Tony again.
Right.
Is essentially the Great Outdoors 2009 edited for television. So it's like everything that's in the Great Outdoors 09 is what you're seeing on the Fuel show. And
oh, really? Shot for shot? Like, I mean, that's it? Like, Adamantis didn't take, like, it's not B-roll or nothing? It's
actually clips from the Great Outdoors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not everything. There's more in the actual DVD that's not being sent to television because obviously they only have 20 minutes to fit it into.
Yeah.
But there's some things that are on the show that aren't on the DVD, but in overall scope of the DVD is far more holistic, I think, the way that it comes across. And
right.
There's stuff that hasn't been on the show yet that I saw on the DVD that if there's anybody that's on the fence about the way that Tony is, I don't see how anybody could watch that DVD and not just make up their mind that something is screwy there. I mean, it's him in living color. It's not anybody claiming things that he's saying. It's him saying it. And I swear some of the stuff that he says, it's like after he says it, he's got this look in his eye like he's reflecting on what he just said and seeing the holes in what he just said. But now I'm going to be labeled a hater and everybody's going to bitch about me. Now, I don't know what I'm talking about or anything, which I'll go ahead and tell you right now. All I know is what I saw on that DVD, and if you want to call me a hater, then feel free, but that's my objective opinion. I don't have any reason to talk bad about the guy.
Yeah, no, and neither do I. I like Mike. I have no problem with Mike. I feel sorry for him in some ways. He's a great rider, and, I mean, Tony means well. You know what
right.
I mean? But it's just gone a little far.
I think he means well, but he means well, but he doesn't know any better.
Right. Well, and there's a situation.
That's how it comes across.
And there's a situation with Kyle Riegel right now that his stepdad is really hurting him from everybody I talk to. And these are people that have been around a long time. There's a few parents out there that need to just step back and relax, you know?
Right.
But getting back to that article, I mean, let me say this. The Alessis, they're not racing right now. They're not even riding to our knowledge, and yet they're still creating buzz.
Much like Jason Lawrence, who is riding and racing again, but not with any consistency.
Yeah, no, exactly. But, I mean, I honestly, I put a lot of work into that Alessi article. I rewrote it. I read it. I rewrote it again. I looked at it. I stand completely behind it. I think all my stuff that I quoted in there is correct and true and verified by a few people, and the jackholes on the internet. I mean, you can't pay attention to the people that you know. Like I was telling somebody the other day, those guys on the internet, I mean, God bless them, they're fans, and that's what we need in the world. But I mean, you could put the sky is blue and you're gonna get a couple people being like, it's a shade of red, it's a shade of gray. Like, it's just human nature, you know what I mean? So
right.
I don't take
that,
it too
that was actually
hard.
One of the questions that I had of as far as your opinion, like, why do the pros even look at Vital? Because, I mean, Vital, the message board, because Steve puts up a lot of great info on that website, yet the riders are drawn to the message board like a Pandora's box, and they focus on the shit that's thrown around at them instead of the best-case scenario, not even looking at it, just ignoring it and refusing to believe that it even exists, because there's nothing good that can come from them reading it. I mean, they're not going to change anybody's mind about if somebody's got something against them on the message board.
Yeah, I mean, as a rider, like you've got, as a pro rider, you obviously have a lot of confidence in yourself. You just have to have that. So you don't need to go on a message board to pump you up. So therefore,
right,
the only thing that you the message board can do is get you mad and make you not like people. And I say it all the time to stay off it. I mean, honestly, I tell these guys, don't even go there, dude. Don't even go there. One rider, I don't know if it was this week or not, he said something to me about Vital. And I was like, dude, just do yourself a favor. Don't read my stuff. Don't go on Vital. Don't. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a no-win situation. But having said that, guess who had his iPhone just tuned to Vital 2 hours a day this past week in Florida, you know? Timmy was just, he's just bored. He's just reading the message boards. You know what I mean? And laughing and joking and asking me about it. And they all read it, man. I've seen Chad on it. They all read it. I don't care what they say. Then they look at it at some point, and it's too bad, because can you see Terrell Owens reading the message boards? Could you see Ocho Cinco checking out Bengals.com? Oh, I wonder what they're saying about me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's exactly what you said. It's a no-win deal. So
That's weird that you say that the riders obviously are confident in themselves, and some may or may not have an ego, but obviously at this level of the sport, you got to have a lot of confidence in yourself. It creates a strange paradox because they're so confident with themselves, and yet when they get on there, they're so focused on the negative things that are said about them, where if they're really that confident in themselves, it would be like water off a duck's back. They wouldn't even think about it again.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. That's you've hit the nail on the head. So, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things. What other boards do you go to? Do you just go to Vital? Do you go to Moto News?
I go to Moto News once in a great while just to see if there's a new post on there or not, but it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot going on there. I would never pay to join a message board.
Yeah.
Message board.
Yeah,
no matter,
pretty tough to ask, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at your message boards a little bit, but honestly, the display of them is so awful that I can't stick around there for more than a minute to see if there's an interesting post.
Why, what's the matter?
There's one of the big banners over on the right side butts into the forum content on my laptop.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever checked it out on my desktop, but my laptop, it butts over into the forum and screws up the table formatting and stuff. And I just, being a designer, I can't look at that. I can't deal with it.
Sorry, bro. Jeez.
But I go to Ars Technica, the Mac section. I check that out. A couple of Mac design sites, message boards
right.
And stuff.
You're all about the Mac stuff, yeah.
Apple. Yep. Are you anti-Mac just because you hear so many good things about them by all the people in the industry, or what?
I'm anti-Mac because I don't pay extra money for the name.
Quality.
For the name.
For quality.
Yeah, for the name.
No, for, it's quality. It's quality.
No, dude, no. I mean, the my new laptop is bitching and as good as anything Apple makes, according to guys I speak to, and it's $1,000 cheaper. So,
according to the salesman you spoke to.
No. Actual computer people, IT guys that I know up in Canada and down here. You know,
I wouldn't argue with you if you could run the Mac OS on that PC.
I don't know.
The strength is in the operating system.
Yeah, well, I'm on Firefox.
Well, that's not bad. It's not a Mac-friendly web browser, but
yeah,
it's still within the Windows operating system.
Yeah, I guess. What about Windows 9? Isn't it better? No?
I thought it was Windows 7.
Oh, Windows 7. Yeah, that's it. Whatever. The new one.
You don't even know.
Dude, I'm on Windows 9 now. They gave me a...
So you wrote the whole thing, because Windows 7 is all about I helped do Windows 7. So you're on Windows 9.
No,
you actually did the whole thing yourself.
Yeah. No, it's me. I wrote the code and everything. It's me.
Right.
But getting back to the Moto topic, what other questions you got? What else crossed your mind?
I was wondering if you watched JT on The Bachelor, or if you're had been paying attention to Pingree on 24.
Yeah, no, I know, dude. Gnarly. We were the Fairies are big Bachelor fans, big American Idol fans. Like, dude, you don't even know. Timmy actually shushed me while American Idol was on because the guy was singing. Like, he actually went, shh. I'm just like, you did not just shush me for American Idol. But he did. So I'd never seen either show for years. But I saw The Bachelor, and I was like, hey, that guy looks like JT. And they're like, I know. So
yeah, for real. He does.
24 I never watched, so I have no idea. I don't watch TV. I don't watch network TV. I really, truly don't. I'll watch Seinfeld reruns if they're on, like Simpsons or South Park. But if I'm just watching TV, it's a hockey game, it's a History Channel, biography, you know, that kind of stuff. Sitcom.
I assume you're not a HBO subscriber then.
I was, but I canceled it in my money-saving purge of about 8 months ago.
So, yeah. Were you a fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Nah, I couldn't get into it.
You gotta be kidding me.
I know.
Oh my God, that's the greatest.
I know. I've heard so many good things about it. I just couldn't get into it. Kenny Powers, very funny. Kenny Powers, very funny. So I may have to renew my HBO when season two comes out. Have you seen that?
What is it?
Kenny Powers. What's the Eastbound and Down? That's the name of the show.
No. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen any of them.
Oh my God, Google it, dude. Watch some shows online. It's so good. It's so funny.
So you watch Jersey Shore, but not Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I watched Jersey Shore because my wife watched it. But I mean, how could you not watch that? It was just awesome. It was just an awesome train wreck every episode. It was like watching Handsome on camera. It's just, you just never knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, it was definitely hard to watch. I mean, I have so many problems with MTV as it is. That show just was the icing on the cake.
It's everything that's wrong with reality TV. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's disgusting.
It's having such a poor effect on the impressionable people that watch it.
It's so disgusting that these people are famous.
I've got friends, like, I don't want to talk about Facebook because it's so lame to talk about Facebook, but my friends on Facebook that obviously are fans of the show I'll see comments like, going to hang out with the Guidos or going to do some fist pumping tonight and all this crap, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me that people are actually into this.
I know.
And thinking that this is, like, cool now and it's chic to say and do these types of things.
Here's a Jersey Shore episode. Okay, get together, F up your job, pick up some dirty whores, get them drunk, try to bang them, girls go out, get drunk, guys get in a fight, repeat.
Exactly.
And then repeat again. That's every Jersey Shore episode. But however, I shouldn't talk because there I was asking my wife if the TiVo had picked up a new episode.
You did not actually ask that.
Yeah, I mean, one time I did, for sure. I was like, hey, is Jersey Shore on? Have we missed Jersey Shore?
So, even if I thought that, my pride would not allow me to vocalize it.
Nah, you're talking to a guy who still listens to Journey and Jovi and
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I listen to Cradle of Filth, but I still got some...
some dignity?
Some Journey and stuff on there.
Right. Or some dignity.
I got a Little River Band on my iTunes.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, come on. They sang Lady in the 70s.
That's Kenny Rogers, bro.
No. It's, you must be thinking of a different song, because I got it right here. I would have it on deck for you, but...
Kenny Rogers has a song called Lady in the 70s.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anyways, what's your take on the Supercross season? What do you think? You like? It's exciting, huh?
Yeah, best in a long time. I thought...
It is, right?
The Indy track, which I went to, was unbelievably slick looking, and the first whoop section was, it looked like the whoops were a lot bigger than any other race so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great. Did you catch, by the way, the highlight of the entire Indy trip and Supercross for me was Josh Lichtel in the Last Chance Lights qualifier? Did you see it?
I don't know. Maybe. What do you do?
806. I don't know if he's got a white-colored off-brand, different brand bike, or if it is a Yamaha, but 806. He's the one that looped out on the start in the Last Chance.
Oh, yeah. That was
Lichtel. You saw that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you see him the rest of the Last Chance?
No.
I don't know if it was every triple and on every lap, but every time that I was looking at him, every time that he jumped the triple, he stuck his right foot straight out away from the bike and would do a fist pump. And to see that every lap of the last chance qualifier was just
right.
Golden. It was awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I like to see that. I wish I would have seen that. I definitely would have wrote about it in my column.
Yeah, it was great.
So, but no, good season. Definitely excited.
Yeah, great season.
Yeah. What else you got?
You want me to ask you some questions?
Yeah, sure.
Who's the best host for overnighters, Ferry or Tricky?
I haven't had overnighters at Tricky's. Not for a long time since we went to that that Canadian race 2 years ago on a KTM. Remember? I don't know if you remember, but we drove up to Canada to do a national and got our asses whooped. So I would say the Ferries. They have a comfy king size bed. Well, they have a few beds, but their one king size bed that I've always slept in is really, really comfy. And you know, you got your own private bathroom, and you know, the room's dark in the morning. So yeah, no. And when you come downstairs, there's always coffee ready to go. So Ferries.
Yeah, the dark room and the private bathroom are kind of hard to beat.
Yeah, for sure. When I stayed with Nick in Michigan, I slept downstairs. And I think I had my own bathroom then, too, but because these guys are loaded, you know what I mean? So they got big houses, lots of bathrooms.
Yeah, and Timmy doesn't have a basement, right?
Yeah, no basement. Nick had a basement. I stayed in the basement in Michigan, so.
Good old Michiganders with their basement.
Yeah, no, I grew up with basements in Canada. So I would say Ferry. Yeah, Ferry.
Ferry Red Dog by default?
Yeah, just because, dude, there's the amount of overnight stays by myself at Ferry's house just completely dominates everybody else. It's like Barry Bonds versus the other guys. I mean, I just crushed it with the overnight stays at Ferry's house. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, as long as the invitation's still open, then you kind of got to give them the win anyway.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So.
So how'd you end up upon Vegas?
How'd I end up in Vegas? Yeah, it's a little weird. I get that question a lot. Basically, what it was when I left Yamaha, when Ferry got let go, I was going to work for Voss, and I just couldn't bring myself to sustain the level of excellence that I was used to. I got a job at Parts Unlimited, and basically I was a brand manager for FMF, and my wife and I were looking to buy a house, and at that time, you know, the housing market was just about at its peak, maybe starting a little on its downswing, and we looked everywhere for a house in California. I mean, obviously, we would have loved to stay in Orange County, you know, but screw that. There's no way we can afford it. I mean, dude, we got approved for a house for $300,000, which is, you know, not chump change. Definitely
right.
A good size house. And
unless you're there.
Yeah, exactly. And we looked around in the 909 area, and dude, we were just looking at pieces of junk, like stuff built in the mid 80s that had attached garages and were like townhomes. And I mean, I'm from Canada, and I was just like, I'm not going to make a mortgage payment of, you know, $1,600 for
right.
a piece of shit. I'm just not going to do it. Every ethical bone in my body says no way. You know, this thing is not worth $300,000. So anyways,
right.
so we could have lived up in Victorville, like where Alessi's live up in the desert, but there's not much around there. Or we could have moved out like way further inland east and had long drives to do anything in California. And California traffic was already bumming me out. It's really bad. And so we had some friends in Vegas, actually friends that I met through Nick. When I worked for him, he was a roommate of Nick's, and he got married and moved to Vegas because his wife, he met his chick here or something on a drunken binge. And I was just talking to him, and he was like, dude, you should check out Vegas. And I was like, really? And I pulled it up, and like my wife and I had always enjoyed living in Vegas, and we had fun here and stuff, and pulled up the listings, and yeah, dude, the houses were literally half price, you know? And Parts Unlimited didn't care where I live. They were like, hey, as long as there's an airport, man, that's all you need, you know? And so
right.
that was it. The deal was set. So we moved to Vegas. My wife got a transfer from her job, and so that worked out good. And so now we're in Vegas, and, of course, now we never do any of the fun stuff that we used to do when we came to Vegas.
You don't get to walk down the strip and
yeah.
be inundated with the whore little flyers?
Yeah, no, we're good on that. We don't carry around the 6-foot-tall margarita glasses. We go down to the strip, but it's only when people are in town. You know, like, we get a lot more visitors now, family, friends. And so it's like, okay, let's go to the strip. All right, woohoo, hey, look, a fountain. You know what I mean? Like, oh, look at this thing. It's just shaped just like New York. Wow, shocker. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff we do with family and friends. But, yeah, we never go down there on ourselves. But that is how I ended up in Las Vegas. So,
what's your greatest gambling
Since I moved here, nothing. Greatest gambling though was, you know, either US Open or Vegas Supercross. I think I won about $500 or $600 one night, which is
just betting on the races.
No, at the tables. I know, you know, that's basically what Reed plays in a hand. Reed and Wyndham and Rich and those guys. One time, Reedy came up. And I was playing, the table was packed, and he was having a good time, let's say. And he threw down, I think, $300 on my hand and said, play it, Mathis. And so I was betting, like, you know, $20 or whatever. He throws $300 chips down, and I win. And he takes his $300 and walks away, but leaves me with the other $300. And
nice.
It just stumbles away. So it was kind of funny story, but...
I got a gambling story for Vegas that I can't even believe that happened to me, that nobody that hears it ever believes it when I tell it. I was in Vegas and parlayed 10 NFL games in one Sunday.
And I
won?
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
$10 bet, I won $1,000, went home and bought a motorcycle.
Wow. Shit, 10 games. Jesus.
Yep. At the time, it was the first time I'd ever bet on anything, so I was just like, that's cool, I won, and everybody that was with me was just falling all over themselves because they could not believe it, and I had no clue how rare that was.
I'll start off the NFL season strong, like three or four weeks in, I'll be going there and placing bets, and, you know, about $100 a time at different games and parlays and spreads and all that, and then I'll kind of lose interest after a while. I think I'm about even on that. I win, I lose, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I bet on the Super Bowl. I lost. I lost like $200 on the Super Bowl. I was crushed.
Yeah, I've got kind of an addictive personality, but luckily for me, it's never affected my gambling. Like, I never, ever gamble unless I go to Vegas, and even then it's very, very little.
Yeah, there's a big casino in downtown Detroit. I don't know if you've ever been there. We went there after the Supercross one year, gambled.
Yep, had not been.
Greek town or whatever. Gambled till like 3 or 4 in the morning, and then got to the hotel, packed the bags, and went straight to the airport. That was awesome.
Yeah. So. But, that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. So, what else you got?
I got let me look at my
little note you made.
My little short-term outline that I made right before I knew this was happening. I got a question. The other night when Wei was on the moto show, and your brother called. He was retelling the tale of you and your brother and your dad at the race when your brother got mad at your dad.
Yeah, he completely blew the story. Like, Nick loves that story, and he was waiting for my brother to tell it, and my brother just sat there in silence. And I spoke to my brother the day after, my brother Jason. I said, yeah, he was waiting for you to tell the story, jackass. And he was like, oh, yeah? Oh, well, I don't know. He seemed to know it. And I said... Well, you were there, and we were waiting for the comedy. Like, the door was open for you to tell this funny story, and he just balled up. I don't know.
Can you tell a story like Wei, though?
Well, no, he can't, but I doubt Wei remembers all the specifics, you know? But
I don't know if the content would have mattered as much as the delivery.
Yeah, that could have been it. I mean, yeah, that's a good point. I know when I told them the story on that trip to Canada, we had an 11-hour drive. Him and Big Nasty, who was just beginning his Bandigo Pickles entrepreneurship back then. Big Nasty was literally crying. He was driving and crying. He's like, I can't, I got to wipe my eyes. He's like, he couldn't even see anymore. They both of them were dying laughing at the story. So it was a good one. It was funny.
Well, my reason for bringing that particular story up is in the story, in Nick's version of the story, he termed you Fat Boy. And I remember when he said Fat Boy, you laughed. Yet when I called you Lunchbox, I got grief over it.
Yeah, no, I don't like Lunchbox because that's Nick's wife's brother. name for me back when I stayed with him all summer in 2002. And the kid was like 13. And, you know, you're supposed to respect your elders and you're supposed to be nice to older people. And he started calling me Lunchbox, which Nick took to great amusement and then therefore started calling me Lunchbox all the time. So I didn't really like the little brat. And now I guess he plays football and he's really big and I could never take him. But, yeah, so Lunchbox, I like to think of, takes me back to a time when, you know, I was full of rage at being called Lunchbox.
Yeah, I was caught off guard that Lunchbox was more hurtful to you than Fat Boy.
Yeah, I know. It's just weird that way, huh? Who knows how that works? But, you know, back when I was, when that story took place, I was far from Fat Boy. I was an athletic machine, you know, on my 80cc, so.
So, how's the life coaching going with Ferry? Has it started?
Dude, I don't know. He Twittered me to stay away from the ice cream last night on the Moto Show, and I did, so maybe that's working. I forgot to bring that letter home because their scanner broke. I was going to scan it and put it on my site. I still need to do that. It's hilarious, dude. I was craving ice cream so bad. And Timmy's like, no. And I'm like, dude, I got to have some ice cream. I just got it. And I'm like, what's open? And there was nothing open. It was like 10:30 at night. And he's like, Evie, his wife, is like, well, there's a McDonald's, you know, down the road. And I'm like, and she's like, they got McFlurries. And I'm like, bingo, bango. That's what I need.
Did she get a nasty stare from Red Dog from that?
Yeah, for sure. So I take off to McDonald's in my rental, my stolen rental car. And I come back. And, I mean, Ferry had been drinking some wine at this point, watching American Idol. So he was in a good mood. And I come back, and there's this contract that he drew up on puppy paper. It has little tiny puppies all around the outside of it. And it's just hilarious, dude. I couldn't believe he took the time to do it out. It's a big, long letter about how he's my life coach. I have to do what he says. I have to lay off ice cream and Cokes. And, you know, I certify that I will listen to Tim Ferry's guidance in my life and my spiritual life. And, oh, dude, it was just hilarious. And he made me sign it, and I forgot the letter there. Damn it. That reminds me. I need to get
it. You need to post that. That would be a great relic.
Their scanner broke, but I need to get that. I need to see if they still have it. It was hilarious. Just, I've never seen Timmy put that much thought into a document on paper. It's incredible that he did that.
I'm still pretty bummed out over the realization that he did not tweet that he was going to be all over the start like a spider monkey that one time.
Yeah, I know. No, that was.
I've come to grips with it yet.
That was Monster Tom, the Monster Cowie PR guy, who we call Monster Tom, and that was his doing, and we all laughed at the time, and that was the last tweet from Red Dog for a long time because he was not almost all over the start like a spider monkey. So
yeah, he's sporadic, to say the least.
Yeah, for sure. He's trying it again, though. He's trying it again. He was loving Hansen's tweets when I was there. He was like, you got to read this. And again, he had the iPhone, and he was just all over that Twitter and a Vital MX when I was there.
Yeah, how can you resist the iPhone when you got it around you all the time?
Dude, I do like the iPhone. There's no doubt about it. I do like the iPhone. I hate AT&T. I'm not going to do it. I'll stick to my BlackBerry.
Yeah, I can't diss you for that.
Yeah, I cannot stand AT&T. They had my cell phone business for about 8 years, and they fucked me around so many times. They overcharged me. They, you know, jacked me up. They put me on hold for 8 million hours. Then they would hang up on me. Like, literally, dude, you'd be on hold. They just hang up, and there you go again. You're right through the process. And all you're trying to do all you're trying to do is not be wrongly charged. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. So they can go F themselves, AT&T, and not gonna happen. So, anyways, that's the way I feel about that.
You had that stolen rental car that whole week?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah, I had a stolen rental car all week, and just got pulled over, unluckily, and that's how they found out.
Were you not driving it much, or
I was driving.
You just got unlucky. You did drive it, you got caught.
No. I guess I was speeding, so that's how they had reason to run my plates, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how that worked.
Yeah, I was speeding, so I took that car all around Florida. I took it to Daytona and back. So.
Nice. Yeah. What is your opinion on? I've heard DV and a couple other taller riders make comments that they feel that motocross, super, I don't know if motocross or just supercross or one or the other, that is more difficult for taller, lankier riders.
Wow, were you listening to my podcast last night with Randy Lawrence?
No.
Okay, well, that's coming out tomorrow, and we cover this exact topic. That's so funny you bring that up. Yeah, we talked about taller and shorter riders, and we were talking about how there isn't an ideal body type for supercross. Tall riders have won, short riders have won. You know what I mean? Guys like who are built like bean poles, like Damon Huffman, have won, and guys that are stocky and built like Barnett, they've won. You know what I mean? That's kind of what we cover.
Yeah.
So interesting that you bring that up all of a sudden, 24 hours after.
When's that going
to
be out?
Tomorrow. I hope to get it up tomorrow.
Nice.
So it was a good one. Yeah. He goes on for a while about different stuff and training and what happened with him and RV and him and MC back in the day and all that. So.
Yeah, I saw him at Steel City last year. He was all obviously dressed up in the Monster Cowie team gear and stuff. And then at Indy, he was running the blue jeans, the skull knit cap, and the flannel. It's quite the difference.
Well, he was training J-Law, so, training J-Law. So
yeah, I'm not going to fault anybody for that.
Maybe you got to look the appearance. I don't know.
Right.
So.
Who was your favorite podcast guest in regards to the rapport that you had for someone that you had, like, really limited interaction with before the podcast?
Let me think.
I would say disregarding non-American writers, just because it's harder to have a rapport with them anyway, so it would be easier to say a non-American writer.
Right. So you're saying pick an American writer.
Yeah.
Right.
Or Canadian.
Yeah, you know, the answer's on the tip of my tongue because there is somebody exactly like that, and I think I told him on the show, like, dude, I didn't really know you, but this was a great show. But who was it?
I think I remember you saying that.
Right?
I can't recall who it was either.
Yeah, there was somebody like that. Like, I didn't really know, and we had a good show. Was it? It wasn't Jeff Ward, because I kind of know Wardy. I don't know. Man, that's a good
question. It may have been.
Was it Jeff Ward?
It might have been.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Could have been Jeff Ward. Yeah. He was a good show.
Let's go with Jeff Ward.
He was really good, man. He went on, and it was the longest one we've done. But you know what? Brock Glover? Was it Glover?
Glover was the longest.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Glover.
I know
was,
that.
Yeah. But,
because I remember I listened to that while I was mowing, and I was mowing the largest piece of property in the history of the world, and he was still talking when
I was
finished.
Still talking, and you know what? He's still talking right now. Glover can go on and on, for sure.
He tells good stories, though, so that's good.
He does, no, for sure. One of the more disappointing ones I had was Barnett. He was my childhood hero growing up, and nothing wrong with Mark at all, but just a real simple guy. You know, didn't want to elaborate too much, didn't want to go on too much, just kind of not really in, like, no ego at all. You know what I mean? Like, so I was a little bummed on that. Not, and nothing personally against Mark. I was so jazzed for it because he's my childhood hero, you know, that that's all. I mean, yeah, so don't take it the wrong way, Mark.
Whose stories did you enjoy the most?
I liked MC stuff. That was really good. Fro was good, too. Fro was really good. Stevenson was good. Denny Stevenson was good.
Yeah. Did Fro give you any grief over Fox stuff or?
No, not at all. No. Fro's one of those guys that realizes that it's just some tubby dude typing stuff on the internet. No big deal, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I was gonna ask you, what's up with the on the Trans World site for any story or video that is posted? What's up with first?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's something like the Bears. Maybe it's something like the Bears.
I don't know. I think it's got to be like a lot of 12-year-olds visiting the site or something.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I can ask my Aiden about that. He'll just laugh. That's all Don ever does is just laugh. Like working for Trans World, like Don, you know, I'm nothing against the nothing against the Racer X when I was working at, but like everything I ask Don or we talk about, he just laughs. He's just, you know, do whatever. So anyways, yeah, anyway, so it's kind of funny. So
so is it, how'd you get to be so ambitious? Because you were doing the podcast and observations at Racer X, and then you get to Transworld and you're doing the podcast and observations, Moto Show, the live chats that you do that everybody loves to get in on with their clever little usernames and come up with the fun little questions. Dude, and then now you're doing the how-to videos too. I mean,
yeah, no,
you're mentally ambitious, but not so much physically, it would appear.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. But no, yeah, you're right about that, I guess. I'm doing less work for Transworld than I did at Racer X, just for different reasons, you know? Transworld hired me for observations and podcasts, and that's all they expect out of me, and I've written a few things for the magazine. But really, they just, you know, this is what they want from me, this is what they're paying me for, and that's it. So, you know, that part is a little less ambitious, I guess you'd say. Racer X, there seemed to be always different stuff going on that I would need to do. So having said that, the tech tips was basically an extra deal that Transworld said, hey, you know, you want to earn a little bit extra money, you know, do these tech tips. And I was like, extra money? Yeah, sure. So that's kind of how that came about. But the pulp thing, man, I just started because I had this stuff that I wanted to do. And I guess that kind of, like, I had stuff that I wanted to ride and stupid stuff and just stuff I wanted to get out there. And all of a sudden, I got some people wanting to advertise. So it became something where I'm like, hey, I got to actually provide return on their advertising dollars. So I need to turn this into a site that, you know, people check every day. And so it's turned into a little more serious at times site than I want. I really wanted to be like stupid Craigslist stuff. I wanted to be people sending me pictures of them, you know, with a mohawk on their helmet from when they were a kid. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. But it's turned into a little more serious than I thought. And this podcast is going to go on there too. And it would be on iTunes as well under the Transworld ones. But so that's kind of where that went. But you're right. Sometimes I bite off a little more than I can chew. Shocker. So,
do you ever feel like the podcast show suffers because of the newer stuff that you do now?
No, I don't. You know, the Moto Show thing is a quick segment with those guys. You're talking more current stuff, you know. The podcast stuff is more deep, like more in getting into your career, getting way, way back, you know what I mean? More focused. So I don't think they cross over. I hope not. I try not to. Obviously, I don't schedule guests. You know, we had Kennard on the podcast show, and Paul Lindsay wanted him on the Moto Show, and I was like, I'm not going to do it just because I just talked to him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. So, I don't think they do. So,
is it nice to get back to the roots and do the podcast when there's no internet connections to FUBAR, your progress?
That's exactly it. No, I go through these podcast shows, like, ups and downs. Like, I'll be all about them, and I'll bust out a bunch, and I'll be all excited for them, and then there'll be other times where I'll just be like, oh, I don't want to do it. Because each one of these takes a little while to edit, to insert all the stuff that I need to, and, you know.
Did you just say edit?
Yeah, edit.
I didn't think you edited anything.
Well, I've definitely gotten a lot slacker in the shows. But, like, if somebody coughs or if I cough or whatever, I'll make a little note on my pad of paper, and then I got to go back and edit that out. You know, so
right. If
anything goes on during the show that's a little funky, I'll just write the time that it happened, and then go back and edit it. But I mean, I got to insert the intro, the outro, the commercials. I got to find out a spot for the commercial in the middle of them. You know, so a good time in the conversation when it's a little lull. You know, so
right.
So F you, dude. There's a little editing going on.
Yeah, well, yeah. I need to add one little more key piece of editing. The commercial insertion needs to be a little lower on the volume.
Oh, does it? Oh, okay.
All yeah, because right. every podcast I listen to, when you say, sorry, got to pay the bills, I'm like reaching for the volume.
Okay, I can bring that thing down a little bit. Are you bummed that your Moto Show intro has kind of been ixnayed a little bit? You okay with that?
No, I'm totally fine with that. I do miss the chatter in the chat room on the glow sticks and stuff. That's gone now because of your Canadian artist that you replaced it with. But
the rave and all that. Yeah, yeah. Where's my glow stick?
Right.
My pacifier. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I like the song that you replaced it with. I would be a little bummed that you asked me to make a 10-minute song, which I could not believe when you asked me to get a 10-minute song. I was like, this guy is nuts. 10 minutes is such a long time. So
yeah,
I would have been bummed.
The problem or the dream I had with that was I would start the song 10 minutes before 6, right? But I kept fucking it up and starting it later and later because we were probably scrambling with shit. So then I had to listen to a 10-minute song at 6:05. Do you know what I mean? So
right.
The dream was to have the announcer come in at 6:01, your voice actually, and come in at 6:01 and start the show. It never happened like that. And it's my fault.
Yeah, see,
you know, but
yeah, that's my fault, I guess, also for assuming that the institution of the Moto show would be a little bit of a tighter ship
from
the get-go,
exactly.
Which it wasn't, which was cool. So I couldn't be mad or even bummed about not using that song because you did hook me up with the microphone. So at that point, I received compensation. You thanked me on the original Moto show airing, so
yes.
I was all good with that. But I do like that the song. Like I said, I think it sounds like live, like an old version of live. I definitely like the song.
Yeah.
The one thing I am bummed on to this day is the bassiness of the voiceover in the intro of the Moto show.
Yeah,
still cannot get it right to this day.
You need to calm down on that. It's fine. But that intro song, I don't know what it is. It's one of my favorite artists, a guy named Matthew Good, and Canadian, by the way.
Is he current?
What? Yeah, he's current. Yeah, that song just came out. That song's off his brand new disc.
iTunes?
iTunes, yeah. Matthew Good. If you want a good selection, listen to his Live from Massey Hall disc. Anyways, I was on the plane. I was in a half coma type status, and that song came on. I was like, you know, because it says it's time to get it going. It's time to start it up. I thought this is an awesome intro song for anything, you know, and I don't know. I just got into it really good, and then the more I listen to that song, the more I really like it for the beginning of the show. Now, saying that, can I get sued by him? What's the rules with that, Swizz?
I'm pretty sure that the deal is they got to contact you at the cease and desist before any legal action can be taken.
Right.
So
okay, I
think you're good.
Somebody had told me under 30 seconds everything's free, but I don't know if you play it under 30 seconds.
That could be too.
Yeah. So, but anyways, so yeah, your intro got ditched, but we still use your outro, and your podcast stuff is still going strong, of course. I think I need to change up the BTO promo. Maybe you should do that. Maybe you should make me a new BTO promo. That's cool. And doesn't say, like, my new friends at BTO, because they're now old friends. So,
right.
You know, and I think I
have
some...
Yeah, I'd be down. I'm ready to throw down some little... celebrity voice impersonations in the promos now.
Oh, you have that? Yeah, you can do that?
I could. I don't know if you would really want me to.
Hey,
might turn out bad.
Question for you. On the vital boards, is there a guy that you just can't stand? Is there somebody that posts on there that you're just like, you just think is the biggest idiot ever?
No, I don't take it any of it that seriously.
Right.
They're all good guys. I mean, some of them have their days, but there's no way that I would ever take anybody on a motor board seriously enough to form any opinion about them on any type of personal, like, reality level. Because it's all, everybody says stuff at times that they don't really mean or think about or whatever, but I don't put that much stock into it. I mean, I've just about probably 10 times my post count since I had my knee surgery from spending so much time on the couch recuperating and stuff.
Right,
so,
right.
There's nobody on there that I would have anything bad to say about in real life.
I love Grendel. Just always holding the flag, dude, no matter what, holding that flag.
Yeah. I'm a Grendel fan mostly just because the way that he phrases his thoughts are well thought and poetic in a sense, just like Rupert's are. So
yeah,
and I got an appreciation for that. Even though I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that he says, I have a respect for how he says it.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I just love how he gets those guys going. Just gets them going, you know? Like, he comes across as a guy that doesn't really care that much, but wants to know that he knows that you're, you know, that he can argue with you or whatever. And just his little jabs, his just well-placed jabs, I enjoy them.
So. Yeah, I'm still surprised that someone that comes across as intelligent as him can continue to be a supporter of Tony Alessi. And I don't even know if he's really a supporter or just wanting to always provide that benefit of a doubt until he has an instance with him personally to base his opinion off of.
He's got to know him, right? He's got to know him.
I would think you maybe met him somewhere. I don't know. It would seem that way, though.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, cool, man.
I'm a big fan of his title on Moto News, though, Media Darling. I was pretty excited about that. I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah, he called into the Moto Show a couple times, too. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I told him to a couple times, but he didn't. But, I mean, we don't communicate, but I'm a... on the chats and stuff, we have a little bit of back and forth. It's pretty nice, but did Watson ever pay up Shaner yet?
He's going to. He's going to, for sure. For some reason, we thought he was from Seattle. I guess he's not. I guess he's from PA. So
yeah, he is, because he was one of the first guys that you sent me the email about being a fan of my old band, so I want to make sure he gets his due payment.
Watson,
he's a fan of my old work, so
Watson's for sure gonna pay him. He talked about maybe offering the kid a flight and some passes out to a race instead, if he wanted to. Like not getting out of paying him, but if the kid wanted to, you know, like set him up as a team member for the day.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But he's gonna pay him. They don't do outdoors, so I don't know how Watson's gonna find him. I don't want him to just mail him a check. I want to do something in the mag, you know, or something on my side or something, because that was one of the all-time classics. We were laughing about it this weekend with Wygant, and Wygant was like imitating Watson, like, "Hey, what do you do for a living, guy? Guy, what do you do for a living? I've been doing this for 15 years."
That was the best. I was cracking up as he was saying it, and then when I heard, I don't remember how I heard it. I think it might have been on Vital that he really was riding, or maybe you posted something about it. Oh, yeah, it was you on Twitter, and when I read that Morris really was riding it, I was just grinning. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, Short text me right after the show. Because he listens to it now that he's doing nothing but healing like you and like you were. And he texted me and said, "Oh, no, dude, Ryan is riding the 450. Watson's going to have to pay up." So that was awesome. I loved it. But Watson's a good sport about it. He was cool. Like, he was funny and laughing, you know, so.
Yeah, I got the sense that he would be. Are you going to bring him in studio more often, especially when Paul's not on location?
What do you think? What's your thoughts on that?
I think for sure. I think Watson is if there ever was a perfect third persona to have in there, that's him. You're the laid-back guy. Paul's the strict, rigid, kind of following an outline guy, and Watson's the guy that fits perfectly, like, in between you guys.
He's
the guy that everybody says straight up or whatever. I know Grendel doesn't have a lot of nice thoughts about him or whatever, but I think... I love his insight and what he talks about and the way that his delivery is really entertaining. So I think it's a good fit.
You got to see when they're both here in the studio and going at each other. It's pretty funny. And I'm just laughing. I'm laughing. Cause I've known Watson since 1997. So I've known him a long time, and he's never changed. He's been the same guy. And he's one of those guys that's just unique. You know, he's just a unique person. There's no doubt about it. So. I go down.
Yeah, he's a good personality for sure.
I go down to the shop, down to Hart & Huntington shop here in Vegas every now and then, and Carrie's always yelling at him, calling him names. And Watson's getting mad back. It's just like a episode of like Three's Company or something. It's just the same thing, Groundhog Day every time I go over there. It's awesome.
Yeah, that brings thought back to my head about the Dogger podcast that you did, when you were saying before the podcast started how you were going to get choked up at that. Listen, when you were going to get choked up at the end when he mentions observations.
Yeah.
I wasn't so convinced that you were choked up. I kind of thought you were playing it up a little bit and you didn't deliver.
I don't even remember what you're talking about, to be honest. Because I think I've just done one Dogger podcast, and it was Canada Days.
Yeah, it was the one that was forever ago.
Yeah, yeah, and I skipped those intros because they were a lot of work. I didn't want to do them anymore.
Yeah. So that's the one part of this podcast you're going to cut out now, right? When you edit?
Yeah. No. What did I say that he brought up that he reads observations?
Yeah, you said listen at the end when he brings up observations, and I get a little choked. It really choked me up a little bit or whatever. And,
oh yeah.
And he's just in the very last line. He's like, I'm glad we became friends, and I read your stuff too, and you're just like, thanks, man. And there's like no choking up, no emotion that was foreseeable through the delivery.
Maybe it was like a car crash victim or a rape victim where they don't quite know what happens to them until afterwards.
Right. It was bewildered. That's what it was.
Yeah, because Dogger was definitely. I mean, he's one of my good friends. We talk on the phone every now and then, and I mean, he'll just call me out of the blue, and it's so unfucking believable that I'm talking to Ron Lachine on the phone. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
like, it's just cool. He's a great dude. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean it when I say that I believe that you know that really gets to me. But maybe I was joking at that time. I don't know.
Maybe. So what do you think about Toronto?
I think Toronto's gonna be good. I think the dirt's gonna be way better. They've got some new dirt. Apparently, it's not gonna be anything like it used to be, which was all ruddy and crappy. But I like that.
Didn't RV say that he thought that was some of the best dirt at any of the tracks?
I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know if he was joking or not. I have no idea because it gets really bad. It gets worse in Seattle. And that's dangerous.
That's what I thought, and I was surprised that he had said that.
Yeah, me too. And that's dangerous for these guys. They don't like that, man. They drag their pegs up there. It's dangerous. So, but maybe RV really was being serious. I have no idea. I mean, he told me to lick his balls one time or something. So, yeah, I don't know.
You seem to not really know where you stand with him.
No, I really don't. He just likes to give me the gears, I think. I mean, he let me shoot his gun, so, I mean, obviously he likes me. But I'm looking forward to Toronto. I'm going in a day early because I'm visiting the Hockey Hall of Fame on Friday. And then
I think I am on Sunday.
DirectMotocross.com, another website that I work for, another ambitious undertaking I have. I'm the editor of that, and we're having a party on Friday night at the Loose Moose right down by the Dome. So I'm going in a day early, going in Thursday, so I can have Friday to hang out in Toronto, the motherland, eat some ketchup chips and some poutine and, you know, have fun. So I like this race. It's always
you and Dean are going to be the most popular guys this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not going to come close to Dino. I hope they bring him out opening ceremonies. They probably won't, but they need to. So
you got to imagine they would. I mean, it's Feld, right?
You would imagine they would. Yes, you would. You would imagine they would.
They know how to hype up a story. There's a story right there. I mean,
yeah, no,
I would
absolutely
think they would have to.
Absolutely. No, you're right. You're right, but we'll see what happens. I hope they do bring him up because Dean deserves it. He's been riding great, and the fans will go crazy because I really believe that Canadians, that event has suffered a bit because the Canadians feel like the Americans come in and run their show with no regard to Canadian-ness, let's say. They just play the anthem.
Isn't that how America does it?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. So if you show the Canadians a little love that you know that you represent and you realize they're in the other country and you're going to bring out Dean Wilson, I think that'll go a long way. So
right.
But
you said you left Daytona, right?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I didn't watch the night show. I went back to Ferry's house, ate some steak, drank some Coronas.
Did you catch on the broadcast Barcia jumping the double out of that little chicane?
Yeah, I saw that. That thing was really rough. All the guys were doing it in practice, or a good majority of them were doing it in practice. And, you know, it got really rough during the night show. But I saw that. Purcell did it one time, too, in the night show.
That was nice. That was a nice little line.
Yeah, it was, for sure. So
I didn't catch any of the 450 guys doing it, so I thought maybe he was one of the only guys.
Nah, it got too rough, probably. That track changes so much, it's not even funny. So
right.
So, all right, man. Well, hey, cool. Thanks for doing it. It's over an hour, so we'll have to do another part.
No trouble.
If you have more questions, maybe
I'm good.
Give you a little
that
more.
Was it.
Give you a little more preparation time at the same time than an hour and a half or whatever it was. but yeah, thanks. Thanks for doing the show. Thanks for all your help with the podcast and the Moto Show. And you know, thanks for reading and all that stuff. Appreciate it.
Right on. No worries.
All right, Kevin, and we'll see you in Toronto, right? I'm going to burn you that CD, and I will bring it to you.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Thanks.